You are now listening to Someone Needs to Hear It.
Hey friends, welcome back to episode 6, Rewriting Immigration, part 3. Today you'll hear the final interview in our immigration series. For this episode, I had one of my good friends, Stephanie Diorio, step in and take the reins as reporter. Steph is an ELL teacher in a public high school. For this episode, she heads to Canada to interview her former student and Syrian refugee, Lean. For those who don't know, an ELL teacher is a jack of all trades. On paper, their job is to help students who come into the school system speaking limited to no English from all countries all over the world. Their job is to help students become acclimated and get them the support they need to succeed in the U.S. school system. But what an ELL teacher really does is far more complicated. From helping students navigate lockers to teaching cultural and social norms, the ELL teacher is the point person for students entering what could be a completely different environment than they've ever experienced. So in this interview, you'll hear the special bond between Lean and Steph. Most importantly, you'll hear Lean's story. She's going to tell you what it was like for her and her family to live in Syria. She's going to talk about her experiences in the U.S. and the reasons her family had to flee to Canada. If you're looking for inspiration, this is the episode for you. Friends, it's an honor to present Lean and guest reporter Stephanie Diorio.
Hi, my name's Stephanie, and I'm filling in for Jen on this episode of Someone Needs to Hear It. I'm here with my friend Lean, and instead of spending too much time talking about how we met, I'm going to turn it over to her now. So this is Lean, and Lean, can you start by telling us where you're from?
Yay. Hey, it's Lean. I'm from Syria originally. I was born and raised in Syria. I went to school there, and I actually lived in the war. It was a terrible moment that I live. I still remember each memory that happened there. I used to go to my school and see the bombing and shooting in front of my eyes, but still determined that I want to go to school and I wanted to get a degree. Both of my parents went to university. My dad has master's in psychology, and I still remember that my grandfather, like, last thing he did before he died was reading books. So when I met Stephanie, the first thing she was telling me to do was be a bookworm. So when I moved to Boston, the only thing that makes her happy was to read books in front of her. So that's what I did. And
so I guess Lean is sort of exposing me on this one. I was Lean's teacher in high school. So Lean was born in Syria and had to, she's very popular too. She had to live through the war. But can you talk a little bit maybe about leaving Syria, mm-hmm. and the decision that your family had to make?
Okay, so I was in American school, so I learned English, French, and Arabic all at once when I was little. We had to leave Syria. It was a very hard decision to leave my family, my home, my friends behind, and just like start in a new country. And we chose U.S. out of any other country because it was the greatest. We always think that U.S. was the best country in the entire world. We got a tourist visa, so we just went to U.S. But it was a very hard decision to take, especially for my dad. He took that decision for the entire family. He took that decision literally in 1 week after there was a huge bombing in front of my school, and many, many of my friends died.
It's all right.
Okay.
So,
I never remembered those.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. So you came to the U.S. with a tourist visa. You had family in Massachusetts.
Yes, I did. We had a third cousin in Massachusetts. but I've never met them before. But when I saw them first time, they were so nice to me. They let me in their house, all of my family, and they introduced me to their friends. And they always say, "Oh, this is my cousin from Syria," and everyone would look at me. Syria? You came straight from the war? Like, you lived there. It was so hard to explain to them that it's a very hard question to answer. And where I lived was a great place before the war. It was really hard to explain that I was not... It was really hard to explain that I was not one of those people they always see on social media or on the news, that we don't, like, how they actually give you the information. Like, we don't get education, we don't actually have homes, we don't have family, we don't have a good life there. But we did live an amazing life before the war. I always try to remember Syria in a good way, and not remember Syria in the days during the war. And I always say that I want to go back and visit my friends and family there, regardless of every single moment, every single bad moment I lived there. I lost my grandmother in the war after I left Syria, like 2 months later, and that was really heartbreaking for me.
I think that, I love you. I think that you mentioned a really important piece about how the media sort of skews the view of a place. So before I met you, I didn't really know anything about Syria. I have a friend whose grandma is from Syria, but it never registered to me that that was the same place. Mm-hmm. And I had heard Damascus, but despite being educated, I didn't realize that was in Syria. you know, meeting you and knowing you... has definitely really opened my eyes to, you know, the civil war that's happening in your country, but also just the relationship that you can have with somebody that's so different from you. So if we think a little bit more about the U.S., you were unlike any student I ever had because you are wearing a hijab. So part of what was hard for me was I sort of always felt like I was protecting you, but I could tell from the beginning that you were fiercely independent and really strong and that you were going to be successful no matter what. So I tried to give you that space, but can you just talk a little bit about what your experience was like in the U.S. schools, or
sure,
even just being in the United States as mm-hmm. as a Muslim family?
Yes. So we were probably the only family, the only Islamic family we came right from our country. Like, we had another family we know that wear hijab before, but they were born and raised up in Swampscott in Boston. When we first came, I always tell my dad this, I am the oldest in the family.
Oh, right.
I have three other sisters. So I always try to stay strong, to let them feel like it's still possible to do something, especially we had a great opportunity to move to US. So when we moved there, I always tell my dad, like, I want to do something. I don't want to be like... When we moved to US, I always told my dad that I wanted to be a surgeon, and he never expected me to say that. He always asked me why, but I always kept it to myself until I actually was in grade 12. So he asked me that question one more time with my cousin Sam, and it sounded like they were attacking me, like, why do you want to be a surgeon? So I told them the actual story. I was once in Syria, like with my friend, and I literally heard someone screaming. This is real, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He had probably, like, there was a shooting, and he got... What is
He was shot. A bullet?
Yes. Okay. So he got a bullet.
Always the teacher.
Got a bullet into his heart. And there was literally no cardiac surgeon over there. Mm. So from there, I always say, I was 16 then. I always say, I wish there was a surgeon. But my country, like many of the doctors were traveling to have like a better jobs and a better life with their families. So there was no enough doctors in Syria. People were just dying everywhere, even though if like it was sometimes it would be a really easy thing that it could be treated. So from there, I always say that I wanted to be a surgeon. I want, especially a cardiac surgeon. I wanna literally help anybody. If I was anywhere on this planet and somebody needed help, I would literally like just like I would go and help them with anything I could help with. And I carried my dream from the war. And when I moved to US, I tried my best to stay a good student, have good grades, which I kind of did. I succeeded in the first year in US. I always felt different from anybody else. Mm. And sometimes the way that you look at me would make me feel that too. Like, they would ask me lots of questions,
yeah.
Like, do you shower wearing the hijab? Do you sleep with it? Is it stuck? Do you have hair? Oh, that question was so funny. Do you have hair?
Yeah.
Yes, I am a normal human being. And I do shower and I do take my hijab off.
She actually has really long, beautiful, thick hair. I'm super jealous of it, but I only get to see it because I'm special. You were told me another thing, though, about being a doctor in, I forget what it is, though, but I think it might be from the Quran that if you save one life.
Yes, if you say, there's an ayah in the Quran that says, if you save one life, as if you saved everyone.
Yeah, I love that.
And if you kill one life, as if you killed literally everyone.
Right. I really love that, too.
So.
Because I think it's important that people understand, that Islam is very peaceful.
Yes.
Yeah. And, it's so beautiful.
And ignorant people that are killing are not supposed to say that they have like Islamic religion, because if you actually read about Islam, it does not tell you to go and kill. It's the exact opposite.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about school. You had some other stories about experiences in high school. After there was a terrorist bombing in Europe came into French class, if you want to talk about that.
Yes. Probably they did not know that I was from Syria, and there was a bombing in Paris. So one of the kids, he came into the class, the bell rang, and he was so excited to share his story, what he actually read on New York Times. And he started like saying very, very, very bad stuff about Syrians and Muslims. And he did not realize I was there. He did not even realize I am Muslim, I am Syrian, and I have feelings.
Right.
You? And I am a very sensitive person. Like, when he started speaking, I was crying so hard.
Lean's a Cancer, if that's interesting to anybody.
So he was like, he continues to talk. The teacher was interrupting him and telling him to stop talking. By the way, his French was not that good.
Oh.
And he did not know that I understand French. That is so funny.
Right.
I literally understood every single thing he said. And I just opened the door and I left the class. It was so sad to hear those kind of stuff from a friend in my class. Right. He was not actually my friend.
A classmate.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. A peer should be supporting you and shouldn't be like spewing ignorance like that. But I think that you had to face a lot of that sort of ignorance spewing in the United States. And so Lena and I met in 2015. And that first year was her junior year of high school. And then in November of 2016, Trump was elected. And... things got really difficult, just, you know, for everybody, but especially for Lean and her family, living in the small, very white community that we were, in. And, so, you know, Lean and I are speaking right now from Canada. So do you want to talk about what happened at the end of your time in the U.S. and sort of,
So it was really hard to take the other decision in our lives to also move to Canada. So my dad, one day he woke up, he's like, I heard this. He actually called me and my mom, and he didn't want my other sisters to hear that. He always think that, like, I can understand what he's going through. So he told me that Trump said that he was going to build like a safe place in Syria and deport all Syrians from US. It was really hard to hear that after I accomplished all of those stuff in US and I got used to live there and I made lots of friends and I always call Boston home. Like I like since I moved there, I always say I want to go back and visit Syria, but right now, I always say I want to go back home to Boston. So it was really hard to leave all of my friends and Stephanie and school and all of those acceptance letters from
universities. Because it was your senior year.
Yes. Yeah. And I cried so much when he said that. He said, we have to leave. In less than a week. It's exactly what he said we were in
Syria.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he told us that we can't tell anyone because we had to cross illegally. So we
and they really didn't tell anybody. I was in California and Lean and two of her friends went sledding and sent me these photos of them having the best time. And so I was pretty sure that when I got back, everybody would still be there. And the day that I landed, I was sick and I stayed home and I got a bunch of phone calls from people at work telling me that Lean was there ready to withdraw and that she was turning in all her textbooks. And I had to contact Lean and give her my phone number. And then we met and we went on a really long walk in February. And it was one of the hardest moments of my life. And that says nothing because I've experienced nothing compared to Lean. So, if it was hard for me, I can only imagine just how difficult it was for you. But, they packed up what they could take and they left everything else behind. And at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they headed north, through Vermont to Canada. And you want to talk about that?
Yes. So my dad was like, we have to pack up and leave in less than 3 days. We packed up everything and we headed to Vermont at 3 a.m. in the morning. It was the first time ever to see Vermont. It's so beautiful.
God, I love you so much. Even in the worst time, you're like, oh, and it's a beautiful state.
And I told Mom, I still remember, how am I going to leave this beautiful country behind? Just because I am not that lucky to stay there.
You want me to stop? I can stop. Yeah. Okay. So we're back and Lean mentioned that driving through Vermont, it was a really beautiful state that she had never seen before, and she was asking her mom how is she supposed to leave this country that's so beautiful, and we both had to pause because we got really upset about that. And Lean and I have talked about this actually this morning, about how maybe people have an idea of the United States and then it ends up not being the same way. And so I think that that might have been the triggering moment for the both of us, was that I grew up in the United States thinking that it was the greatest place in the entire world, and Lean and her family came from Syria from a war to the United States thinking it was the greatest place in the world, and it possibly ended up not being so beautiful. A lot of that would have to do, I think, with Trump and executive orders and Muslim bans and ideas that he could just deport all the Syrians back to a safe space in Syria. So what do you think?
I think that when I moved to US, it was, I had the idea of it was the greatest place, but let's start when I told my mom how am I going to leave this beautiful country, and how I actually felt from the inside, saying that it is a beautiful country, but not as beautiful as I expected. Mm-hmm. I expected it to be more welcoming, more protecting. I still remember I posted something on Instagram before I left US. It was the Statue of Liberty hugging a hijabi girl. It was so, like, it was a really good picture, and I expected that to actually happen, a miracle to happen before I leave, but I had to leave. And I still think that I want to go back home to Boston. So when I left, I crossed the borders with my family. And my sisters, my two little sisters, they refused to get out of the car because it was literally just crossing the illegal borders, which it was really terrifying.
Were you in the woods?
Yes, yeah. We were. We were literally, like, illegal borders is not just, like, getting into an airport and giving your passport and, like, those butterflies and happy life. It was really terrifying. When we went there, it was February 29, so it was really cold. And we went through Montreal, which is extremely cold during that time. There was snow. But then my mom yelled at all of us. She's like, get out of the car! So we all literally get out of the car.
Kennedy is a very wonderful woman, by the way.
But that moment, she was probably the strongest woman I've ever seen. So we crossed the borders. The police there were really nice.
What did they say to you?
They said, welcome to Canada. You are in a safe place now. Yeah. The way she said it, though, I never heard that in US. That is one thing I like about Canada. It was like the first impression. I told mom, wow. And then I started crying so hard. There was two men that they were taking pictures of us, and they did not ask for our permission. I felt...
Were they journalists or police or just people taking your picture, or you don't know?
I think journalists. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so. But they did not ask for my permission. And I saw all of the pictures all over Google, so that was really upsetting. And then when we head into Montreal, the police took us to the like checking our like fingerprints. They took all of our passports, our belongings, our phones. And then 2 days, and we slept on the floors.
And they arrested your dad, right?
Yes, they did. He was handcuffed. But when she asked him, he was fully confident. She's like, you are arrested right now because you are entering the illegal borders in Canada. are you okay with that? And he was so confident. His voice was not even shaking. Yeah. He's like, yeah, do whatever you want to do. I was like, wow, Dad, are you actually going to do this?
Yeah, I think he had already made all of the hardest decisions, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Another wonderful person.
So when we head into Montreal, they gave us back all of our stuff and even the passports and stuff. And they gave us like a paper that says you are refugees in Canada. The word refugee, I've never liked before. Mm. But like that moment, it made me feel like I am part of a beautiful place. I can take legal papers. I can go to any country in a couple of years. I can take the citizenship. It's just a matter of time. Unlike in US, I took probably nothing, just the social insurance number and the work permit.
It's going to be easier to get citizenship from Canada. Yes. And it was much more difficult in the United States to try to get that paperwork. Yes. Started. Yeah, I remember a lot of meetings with or days that you were absent from school because you were acting as a translator for your parents to try to get some of that stuff done. Lean had to be an adult way before.
Yes.
She was legally an adult, I think. and I always thought that was sort of remarkable that you were able to without complaint, like you don't complain, and you just sort of took on that role of like the third parent. But I guess another thing that is different maybe about Canada is that there seems to be a bigger population of not only Islamic people, but Syrians.
Yes. Many, many Syrians came to this specific area in Ontario. And I think I heard this before in Canada. They said, we are stronger together. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is true. We are stronger together. Like, I've never been in a situation that was racist against me or my family. And since day one, I got into Canada. We got the legal papers. I had to apply to college. And unfortunately, I had to go through grade 12 again because I did not graduate in US. I had to leave before probably a month before graduation.
It was 3 months, It probably felt like less.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to stay with my friends there and have graduation. Yeah. With all of my,
she had already teachers. Bought a prom dress, too.
I did.
Which was really sad.
And I left it in US, by the way. I couldn't take it with me. Literally, my bag was, really tiny. I wish I can tell you how big, this big. And I, it was a really hard moment to remember.
Yeah.
Especially that when you want to explain to people that I'm not poor, refugee does not mean being poor.
Right.
My dad had a great job in Syria. Mm-hmm. He was a businessman. And then when we moved to US, we all worked. My mom, I helped with paying the rent too. Yeah. And I am not ashamed of this at all. And when we moved to Canada, my dad started his first business. And 2.5 years later, he have 3 businesses right now. And I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
And I want him to be proud of me too. He always say he want to send me back to Boston to study. And I wish...
Because the best hospital is right there.
Yeah! I wish I can go back and study there and get my medical degree from Boston, especially from Boston. Not Michigan. Across the borders. Nope, not Wayne State. Sorry. But for now, and until I take my citizenship, I wish all the best for US. And I want it to be as great as I thought of when I was in Syria. I want it to be an actual great country and not...
this
and
year.
Not to and to actually accept immigrants, because mm-hmm. U.S. was based in, like, on immigrants, and I don't know, like, when they say, not they say, when he say that he don't want immigrants, like, how come did you come to U.S.?
Right. Are you Native American?
I know.
Yeah. So, a couple of things that you talked about, like, not only maybe what you want people to think about as far as somebody who practices Islam or identifies as a Muslim or wears hijab or is a refugee, is there anything else that you want people to understand about any of those terms?
Yeah, sure. I wanted them to understand that Islam is a very peaceful religion, and I'm not trying to get anyone into Islam.
She's not working to convert. No.
It's just that I love my religion. I would never, ever imagine myself giving up my faith and my beliefs. Even in U.S., I had a couple of moments that I was like, shall I keep my hijab on or shall I take it off? Mm-hmm. But I was like, please God be with me. I would never give up this. Yeah. And I was stronger. I worked. I was accepted with, like, all of my coworkers. My manager loved me and my mom. We worked together, by the way, at the YMCA in Marblehead. And I am still friends with every single person I met in Boston. Like, literally every single person. And I miss them all. I wish I can go back home again. Mm-hmm. Probably I said home 4 times. but I literally missed Boston so much. I wish I can go back and study and get my medical degree and be a great surgeon and make my parents very, very, very proud of me.
Yeah. Was there anything, speaking of your parents, that they wanted you to share?
My dad wanted me to talk about this, but I did not want to share this. In my junior year, I was determined that I did not want to be a normal kid. I studied so hard. I had my own room, so my dad usually pray at 5 a.m. in the morning. Every single time he comes by, especially during my junior year, my light in the room is on and I am studying, like, constantly studying. And that was paid off. Like, literally the first semester, I got many rewards in Swampscott High School, and he was so proud. Like, oh my god, he teared up for the first time ever. I've never seen him like this. And then he wanted me also to share that there was a poetry contest that Stephanie was pushing me to get in.
Imagine that.
It was called I See Syria Bleeding. And it was literally a very powerful poem.
Oh, it was after you read some poetry. Yeah. In American Lit. Langston Hughes.
So I still remember that moment, and I remember how my voice was shaking. I remember how many people were in the room when I was saying the poem, and I think I was the second one.
I think I was at grad school.
Yes, you.
I missed a lot of really important events in your
you
life.
Pushed me, and you weren't there. I won, I think, the second place, and I got $50.
$50.
I mean, $50 was nothing. When I speak of the moments I was writing the poem, mm-hmm. but it was a lot to me. It meant so much
to be recognized.
Yes.
Yeah, and to get to share that. Can you look at that document? Not that guy. That document. No, the thing I sent you.
Oh my god.
Anything else that what's like the biggest message that you want people to take away from your story?
Never, ever, ever give up your dream. Oh, even through a war, even through a very powerful president, even through any situation you would go through, right. Even if you want to cross a legal border, right. Just don't give up your dream. I don't see myself other than being a great surgeon in 8 years, graduating. And I always say that. And I want them to know also that Muslims are not bad people. The people who are representing Islam on social media are not the actual religious people that they actually are following Islam. They're just giving you a very bad idea and just making it feel that this religion is the worst on the planet.
Right.
I want you also to know that if any person in US have an accent does not mean they don't understand English. Probably it's because they know 2 or 3 languages. I think so. They're bilingual, probably.
Multilingual?
So, yes, yeah. You should respect them because I do have an accent and I'm not ashamed of it.
No. I have an accent too. A New England.
Yeah.
Boston accent. Yeah. We all have accents. No, I think that's a really important piece. Yeah. People always say that I teach ESL, and I say no, because it was not Lean's second language. It was her third, or...
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else?
I just want to thank you so much.
No, I thank you. I thank you so much, because it's not easy to talk about yourself. It's not easy to sit in a 90-degree car and talk about yourself. So Lean and I see each other once a year now instead of every day. And I told her at her birthday party that when we are apart, I carry her with me in my heart. So I really do mean that. And I can't wait to see you graduate from medical school. But yay. I really do appreciate that you're willing to share your story.
Thank you. Thank you for being so supportive throughout those 3 years that I've known you. Four years. Whoa, that was a lot. And many years to come. I literally have nothing else to say.
Nothing? Shocking.
I always ask questions, though. Do you want me to ask you a question?
Do you have a question to ask? No.
Are you hot?
All right, signing off. Thank you, Lean.
Friends and fam, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Lean's story and the rest of my guests in the Rewriting Immigration series. Michelle, you are my heart. Christella, you are my soul. And Lean girl, you are the future. Another special thanks to Steph for playing reporter and helping me make part 3 a reality. That's it for this episode of Someone Needs to Hear It. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and follow me on Instagram at Someone Needs to Hear It. And if you or someone you know has a story to tell, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can contact me on Instagram or email me at someone needs to hear it@gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be well.